everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Canadian Podcast. Andrew and I are together again at the Dairy Farmers of Canada Annual Policy Conference, and we're fortunate we're about to speak to one of the speakers who covered data today. So Andrew and I both milk cows with robotic milking systems. We track all of our breedings and whatnot with software, like many of our colleagues across the country, and there is no shortage of data swinging around on the dairy farm.
Well, and I think that's what makes this conversation so interesting, Sarah, is just we all know how much is coming in from kind of every direction. And some of it we're pretty good at, you know, kind of analyzing. Other stuff, you know, you're not analyzing enough. But I think the conversation we're about to have with Daniel Foy is going to be a fascinating one in just what do we need to do with this data? How do we manage it to make sure that we as farmers are not only getting the most from it, but being protected by it too?
Meet a Canadian dairy farmer. Planting one tree, then hundreds more. To naturally purify the air. Preserving wildflowers for pollinators. And nurturing wetlands for healthier soil. So wildlife can prosper.
Biodiversity is in our nature.
Working towards a sustainable future. That's Dairy Farming Forward.
We're in!
Our guest is the co-founder and CEO of Agrigates, a leading U.S.-based agri-tech company working on production, aggregating quality data from the farm level for the improvement of food animal welfare, enabling farm data ownership and governance. He also serves as the subcommittee chair at the Dairy Cattle Welfare Council and is an elected commission officer for the European Federation of Animal Science Commission on Precision Livestock Farming. It's quite a resume. Daniel Foy, thanks for joining the Canadian Podcow.
Bonjour, hello. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor to both be here at the conference and then join in on the podcast. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, because when we're here at the annual policy conference for DFC, I think you've really enlightened producers a lot on, you know, this concept of data and what artificial intelligence can do and all of that. But if I can kind of back up a little bit, just because it's an interesting story, I think. I mean, you're in the U.S. now. You grew up in rural Ireland. Talk about your journey. Like, how do you specialize in all of this, and particularly, you know, in the ag tech space?
Yeah, I get this question quite a bit. How does my colorful history get me to where I am today? So I'm from rural Ireland. I grew up in the borders of Northern Ireland, but on the southern side. My parents were the local grocers. My neighbors were the veterinarians. My other neighbors were chicken farm. The other ones were dairy farms. So I was either on the chicken farm, the dairy farm, or with the vets, and I was in the supermarket. So I've just been exposed to food basically my whole life. My family's very business focused. I said, I'm not doing business. I'm going to go and study science in university. So I was like, break the book and go do a science degree. And I was in a nutrition and dietetics department for human health. And that kind of got me exposed to this world of health, functional foods, nutrition. And when I graduated, I started working in the food manufacturing side of the business. A lot of my peers either went on to do PhDs, they went to the food industry and started becoming food scientists. And I was like, hey, I'm not that suited to big companies, bit out of the box thinker. So I'm going to do it a bit differently. And I started working with a novel equipment company that was working in liquid milk, whey and IgG, and I was looking at functional traits within those products, competing on filtrated milk, ultra-pasteurized, UHT, and I was just getting exposed to a whole raft of problems within that side of the industry. And an agri-tech company back in 2015 said, hey, you're pretty good at kind of seeing how the new product coming through fits into the commercial space. Would you like to look and see how wearable sensors fit in the marketplace? So in 2016, I said, hey, that sounds like a great project. Let's figure out how Fitbit for cows fit in the market. So I moved over. Actually, my first ever business trip internationally in my first week in agri-tech was to Canada. And I did University of Guelph, University of Saskatchewan, and then to the University of Alberta, all in 5 days, with a UK government trade body. And it really exposed me to the world that I continue to revolve in today. I've worked with farms that range from a few hundred cows to a few hundred thousand cows, and worked with their data and the problems that they have, specifically aggregates, and how I got to form that company and become the co-founder of it. When I was working in the wearable sensor space, I really seen no one was helping farmers bring the data together. So here's a really good wearable system, but I can't make it better unless I have the weather, unless I have the herd management, unless I have the nutrition system. Nobody was out helping farmers put those systems together. So everyone's saying, hey, Dan, look, your system's great. It works. We see the review papers, but I needed to talk with these systems, and no one was helping with that. And I was like, I can't keep butting my head up against a wall and having these conversations. Let's figure it out. And I was like, how do we enable farmers to bring that data into one place and begin to make value and decisions from it? And that's what I've been doing since 2020. So I was born in COVID and have been kind of doing it ever since. And we've got about six engineers and about three other people working with us kind of on a raft of different hardware and software projects. And to kind of give you, I'm a scientist who is self-taught data science in a way. So the computer science side, in 2020, I sat down at my computer and learned how to code and just took that challenge on and said, hey, if I'm going to expect others to do it, I should know how to do it. And I think that's always been something that's enabled me as a leader and as a boss with my team to really understand what the problems farmers have, because I can actually see the tools that are going to help them now. And I think that's a unique point that I've got to in the space in the last number of years.
Well, it's fascinating listening to you speak, just thinking about all of the technologies we use on the farm. Like, our animals have been wearing wearables for, since I've been around the farm for the last number of years. And then we use a robotic milking system. I mean, all of this stuff is common, but I know nothing about this side of the business that you're talking about. I know that AI is a thing out there. It's all the rage. Everybody seems to say, oh, I can do it with AI. So can you talk about what that means when it comes to animal agriculture and the data that we're kind of, I mean, we know we're collecting it, but at this point, what are the opportunities? What could happen for us with the data that we're collecting from our animals?
The opportunity is pretty immense. And I think we've put so much money into technologies and these first generation tools. And in the presentation that I gave today, you heard me talk about the Gartner hype cycle, which is really this high peak and then this lower peak, but they meet each other and it's kind of one consistent line of how we go through the problems in adopting technology. And when we look at those systems we have today, we know they give us data, but that's about it. We don't know anything else behind these outputs, whether how the calculations were done, who defined the calculations, what is the standard for that calculation for the system. Now, and this is where the problem arises when we have these different robots, nutrition, herd management, sensor systems. Now we want to bring that data into one place and use it in an integrated format for additional decision support. It's not up to the standard that we want it to be. It's not usable in that format because of the lack of understanding these black boxes, the outputs themselves. And I guess I'm, as I said in my talk, kind of bring the reality of awareness around AI. I see the opportunity, but I think it comes with these very specific steps that we need to take in terms of farm data ownership, pre and post algorithmic processing, the infrastructure to manage that ownership and enables the governance. So if I want to connect you two to the data, I define as the producer your connectivity, not me going to a third party and saying, hey, I need my vet now to be connected. That's impeding them from being able to fulfill their duties by having a middleman in the way. So I guess it's pivoting from these disparate type of systems today to an integrated format with them, and then what value that's going to bring to us. And we're not there yet. We've come probably 90% of the way, and that last 10% now is a hard, high jump. But I think we can do it. The farmers, the producers, the support industry around them, they are resilient. They are problem solvers. You heard the minister say it today. These people can work in waste, they can work in the land, they can work in the barn, they can work with the animals. They're problem solving across immense topic areas that we're not giving them consideration for. They'll know what to do when we give them the right data and the right user interface to engage with that information.
Now, in your presentation, you talked, one of the big kind of subjects you had was around governance of that data in the first place. And you kind of laid out, some key pieces around governance, some key points around that. Can you kind of explain that to those that are listening? Because, you know, beyond just having data, it kind of goes along with, well, whose data is that and how can you handle that and all of that? What does that governance look like?
So there's really five key points to governance from what we see as a tech provider. Those are really enabling the farmer to be the owner of the data pre and post algorithmic processing. We need to collect that input data and the output from these algorithms, these calculations that are being run. And we've done a very poor job at defining those. Right now, if you were to look at a lot of intelligence, it's the companies defining the input, what's in the black box, and then equally what we're accepting as the output. Now we have to come back as the industry and go, this is the data that we're going to accept, and this is the output we're going to accept from the system. So that's really one first step in the ownership side of things pre and post algorithmically. We need to have data standards, and we talked about them from a sustainability standpoint by other speakers. I specifically talked about welfare. And, you know, when my example of wearable sensing technology for things like lying time, that's a really critical welfare indicator we want. That output, based on the 47 different sensors that are available, are different from each sensor. So if you're a farmer out there who has a data system and you say, hey, I've got an algorithm that can run on a wearable, a robot, and a nutrition system, and you go down the road to his friend and say, hey, adopt this algorithm, and he goes, oh, no, I can't. I don't have that same data output from my wearable. And that's creating huge problems in the governance and in the use of the data. The need to independently assess these outputs, that's something we have to take these suppliers of agritech systems' word. I'm not a very big word taker person. I want it here in front of me on a piece of paper and in my purview. And then a third person to do that so I can say, okay, what they're supplying me is what it is. And that's going to become increasingly more important as we look at regulations, contracts that are going to be paid. If there's something wrong with the output, that might be the farmer's problem. That might be the tech system. So those validations are going to become a very important part. The consolidation of that data, so as I said, the infrastructure for bringing it together, that's going to allow us to pre-check, validate, run these analysis in real time, what's coming in, so we know it's good quality data. And that, you know, we have to do that if we're going to use the data for AI. Right? We need to be able to trust that information we're going to put into this big black box that's going to give us answers. And then the last one is data security. And I think people think about cybersecurity and the fact, oh, my data. But it's actually simple things like, who's the licensed person that I give permissions to access my database? How do I log the people who've entered that database? So I have a history to say, you know, this happened, but why was that person doing that, right, in the first place? We don't have anything like that with the data system. So they're kind of my core essence of what governance needs to be with farm-level data.
So when you talk about data ownership on top of that, one thing you talked about was keeping farmers from getting trapped into a subscription cycle. And as someone who's trying to purchase a new GPS system, I'm just thinking about that. You used to be able to buy one that would just come with maps and would work on the farm. Now you need to buy a unit, and then you also need to buy a subscription in order to be able to participate. But same as everything that we're using on the farm. So how do you keep away from that side of it when one of these subscriptions is meant to help with crop production, one's for milking data, one's for financial analysis, and suddenly you've got a very large bill at the end of the month. Is it too late now, or how can farmers take that control back and still be able to be self-sufficient? Like, if I don't pay my subscription, oh, now I can't milk my cows. Oh, if I don't pay my subscription, I can't till my field the way I'm used to. How can we have some ownership in that situation?
Yeah, there's definitely an anxiety arising from the fact of, A, I don't know where my data is going. B, I have all these costly subscriptions to pay for, and I'm not probably using them all to the peak of where they should be. And, a starting point is very simple things. What am I getting value out of? how do I mark and benchmark that value from these systems? You know, it's been, the business models have been cut up to make them more attractive, right, to farmers. This monthly subscription doesn't make it feel like a big cost because it's spread over 12 months. But when you look at 12 months, it's still a big cost, right? And I think the models that are put out are to be these very like Silicon Valley based, you know, it's just a subscription. But when you've got 10 of them, that's $100 or $200, right? And now you've got to really question, is that system giving you valuable data? And is that data accessible to you to be able to use it in independent ways? And so a lot of these subscriptions, that data is not accessible. That's not the contractual agreements that are put in place. And I think that's the other thing. You'll hear a lot of companies say, oh yes, we believe in ownership. You are the data owner. Contractually, that's cockamamie. There's no rhyme or reason between those two things.
Yeah, and if you're collecting it all, are they actually helping you to leverage it to the best benefit of your farm for what
exactly
you're paying for?
Well, a lot of these companies are incentivized to aggregate a lot of data to build new tools that can be then targeted back to farms as a new subscription or an add-on to the subscription, which increases the overall cost to them. So how I've really had to come back with it, we're in a sea of data systems. And what your business or what you and your farm business is focused on as your unique selling point, you need to identify the optimal data points that bring you value. And you need to identify how to bring those into a single location that you have purview over. Contracts aren't going to cut it. Having some handshake with the companies, actually an article by Walt Clooney from Progressive Dairy last year, he wrote a piece called Don't Sell Your Data for a Pizza and a Beer. Because that's what people are doing. They're saying, hey, we'll do this insights for you and you just give us our data. But the farmer doesn't understand that farm is aggregating, or that company is aggregating that data to be able to use it to build new tools that then create new value. So in the ownership question that you have, you've got to start bringing it together into your purview and work with teams of people who can help you do that. And they might be outside the current service suppliers of agritech that are in the industry. It's not a complex thing to try and take these data files, whether they are CSV, Excel, or others, and try to put them in some structure so you could put AI on top of it as a farmer. And you be the first person to put your AI model on top of, or large language model like ChatGTP, on top of your data set and say, hey, I don't need to go into the office and, you know, pull out these files. I just go to ChatGTP and it pulls it up for me. We can get to that point if farmers take the ownership and control of their data. And it's not that difficult to apply these models. There's APIs or application program interfaces, which is the integration tool, that allow us to do that with the farmers' data if they get it back from these companies.
So then you talked a lot about data here, but one of the other components of your presentation was around kind of this artificial intelligence piece and taking it to the next level then, right? You've got all this data. How do we actually then use it? And you talked about, I mean, I love the idea of like one program just being able to manage everything rather than pieces all across. But maybe that's a little further down the road. Can you talk about a little bit in terms of past and has there been any success done already in terms of in the AI space, you know, particularly around, you know, maybe it's as specific as dairy farming, maybe it's broader in livestock farming, but where has there been some kind of early success in the AI space?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I talk about data a lot rather than AI. And I do that because the AI is data is the foundation to what we feed into the AI. And I think, you know, the cart before the horse or the chicken before the egg, and the problem here is the data. But the AI side, there's really three trends that are emerging from specifically dairy and the literature that's out there is that, you know, we are maturing into a space where we've got a lot more data coming from systems. It might be the right now, but we're maturing and it's there. So that's available to be able to be used. The models themselves, in terms of neural networks or large language models in the ChatGPT example, those are ready and mature. And as my example in the discussion was, you know, the Europeans have the supercomputers, but the Canadians have the scientists who developed the machine learning models, or artificial intelligent models. So Geoffrey Hinton, who's the one of the computer scientists who developed neural networks, actually went to the University of Toronto. So we don't need to compete with the Americans and the Europeans. We've got the skill set here, and they're perfecting the catalog of models for us to draw into our use case. So that's ticked off. And then the last one is the computing power, both from a software and hardware side, are now affordable and accessible enough to be able to put these intelligent AI tools on top of. So we've kind of got this trifecta of the right things now to pivot into AI. But when we look at what are some of the takeaways from our dairy industry, well, we currently have very limited AI research, and a lot of it is not happening in North America or in US or Canadian institutions. And, you know, yes, we have Geoffrey Hinton at the University of Toronto, but he's not looking at dairy AI, he's looking at general AI. So we have to get the specialists in our field geared up to be able to adopt these things. Then I've talked about integration, aggregation, data ownership. That is not something that we're set up for either. So we've got standards for the data. The management solutions, so the actual data infrastructure, we don't have that at the moment either. The actual AI models that we've looked at, we've probably only two, which is general neural networks and random forests. Very entry point machine learning models from our perspective. And then a lot of this new research isn't actually going into animal science or dairy science peer review. It's going into computer science. It's going into IEEE, which is a more engineering peer review. The people who are focused on this aren't even targeting the traditional peer review sectors. When we look at something like ChatGPT, it can work for simple things we want, but we're going to have to try and tweak it a little bit for these more sustainable welfare type of things. So the opportunity is there, it's just the right data.
So you mentioned all of this stuff occurring outside of North America, and they're kind of being the parts here that we have a lot of potential. But I'm curious what we can do to catch up here, because I feel like if I think about my kids wanting to become dairy farmers, they're not sure. I feel if my kids could talk to you about this type of work in dairy, they would be so much more interested compared to the on-farm stuff. And I mean, I'm involved with some agritech innovation stuff in BC. I can tell you nothing to do with dairy comes through there. And how do we bring the interest and bring those people that are working in that space to wanting to apply themselves and their tools to our industry? What could we do as an industry to improve that?
I think we really take for granted as producers the fact that we're either producers who are in the industry and so few of us percolate in, but we do a very poor job making outsiders aware of what we do. And we've got to stand up on our soapbox now, and we've got to tell them that we're technical geniuses when it comes to technology. Like, I mean, we're in the fields using it. We're in the environment thinking about it. We're in the barn thinking about it. Like, it's a multifaceted approach in applying technology. And you're right, it does get young people excited to think, oh, I'm not just out there pushing cows. I could be out there engaging with numbers and doing, you know, if you think about Facebook or all these companies in 2010, everyone wanted to work for them. They were the next coolest thing. And I'm like, that's what we're doing in agriculture. So come this way and don't be go to Silicon Valley. Come to the actual valley and do this work, because it's hugely fulfilling. It's rewarding. It's solving some of the biggest problems in the world we have, which is feeding people enteric methane emissions. And I think people think that's just going to go away. Animals still have to live on the planet. So we're still going to have to figure out this relationship that we have with the natural world that we live in. And I think dairy is a door into that, right? It's a proper science with huge amounts of support and technology behind it. Well, why don't we just spread that a bit further into the environment and the pasture, which we're doing for, you know, the Dairy Farmers of Canada's strategy for 2050 and sustainability. Isn't that the idea that we're constantly being sold, that we're trying to get to? I think we got to sell that story to more young people, and they'll just jump on the bus, you know?
Well, it certainly sounds like an exciting future, and to have you kind of leading the way as co-founder and CEO of Aggregates certainly puts a lot of perspective into what could be possible. So, Daniel Foy, thanks for joining the podcast.
I appreciate it. Thank you both.
So that was a lot to think about, Andrew. What's your key takeaway from this chat?
The thing that I, and it's one thing that I've thought of before too, is I would love this, you know, more compact way to analyze this data rather than having the, you know, subscriptions that Daniel talked about, like kind of all over the place. Maybe that's a pipe dream, but I think, you know, someday wouldn't it be nice to be able to have it all in one spot? As well as just the fact that we as farmers kind of just have to be mindful of it. This data has value and there's risks associated with it. You?
Well, and I think if you think about our commitment to efficiency in terms of dairy farms, right now we're not being super efficient with our data in that we can't layer everything that we're collecting together and use it to the most potential. So I think it's crazy interesting to see what we could do as an industry, and also the thought of attracting people to our sector that could really help us leverage this for the future. So a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah, and so if you ever have a thought in terms of data, you know, you should email us. Let us know what you think and how you handle data. You can email us to podcast@canadianpodcow.ca. You can also find us on Facebook or Twitter. Just give us a like and kind of reply. How do you think about this data?
Well, so much to think about. It's been a great episode. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And a big thanks to our sponsor, the Dairy Farmers of Canada. And of course, to our production team, Bruce Sargent and Carl Beloge, hanging in there with us, making us look good every time.